Hello, hello. How's everybody? Mic check. Let us know the sound is coming in and that you are with us as we prepare for this study tonight. A beautiful day today. We're getting right into the springtime. Lady Kim, we're already there, but we're going on into the springtime. You know, spring brings sunshine and rain. And I think we have to have that rain in order for all of the things that have been hibernating, so to speak, or things that have been, you know, getting ready to bud, like the flowers and the trees and the grass. All of that needs that rain in order for it to really produce and for it to prepare for the summer. Would you agree?
Yes.
And so I was thinking about that because same thing is true with our journey in the spirit realm. You know, many times when we see a lot of rain and the storms and all of the different things that we don't want to see, God uses that to perfect us and help Romans 8 and 28 come to fruition when he says all things, Paul says, all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. And I believe God uses all of that in order for us to really mature and to be who he's called us to be. And absent of that is absent of us being the person that God would have us to be. I want God to perfect me and mature me. I don't want him to leave out portions of what I need for the spiritual journey in order for me to be complete and whole.
Amen.
And sometimes people look at the difficulties and the trials and the tribulations of life, and they want a smooth sailing. They want smooth road. They don't want any bumps in the road. But all of that is what matures us and allows our faith to grow and allow us to be who God has called us to be. So that's a word for somebody even before we get started tonight. You may be in a very difficult place in a situation where it looks like it's storming. It looks like it's a storm cloud just walking and following you everywhere you go. But know that God has not forsaken, he has not forgotten about you. He's with you, his promises are sure. And I believe when you come out of this, you're going to be much better than you were before it happened.
Amen.
And so just be encouraged and continue to trust the timing of God in your situation and your circumstance. It sounds like it's a cliche oftentimes when we say that, but we've been there and we've been through it. And the people that you are looking at even tonight on this screen, we haven't always had what we had. We haven't always been what we are now. We had to come up the rough side of the mountain. It was in the valley for a long time. But God held on to us and we held on to God.
Amen. That's all we can do.
That's all we can do. And so Lady Kim would tell you some stories y'all wouldn't believe, because see, many times people look at the end and they forget to see the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people don't understand the story. They just look at the glory.
That's right. I
said something now.
Yes.
So I don't know what that's for, who that's for, but that's just what we were talking about today. But y'all let us know the sound is clear and that y'all are getting a good signal tonight. We see you on, and as many of you are preparing for this time together, we're going to do a recap of 16. Is that right?
That's right.
And then we'll try to accomplish as much as we possibly can with 17 and 18. And that will put us right on track in Joshua as we continue to move through this time together. But we're grateful for each of you who are on the call tonight and those who will listen to this particular study later. But let's have prayer as we prepare to go to God and be a part of this study tonight. Father, we bless you and we honor you and we do thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank you for being God and God alone. We thank you for this season that we're in, this time of reflection and this time of just really understanding your grace and how much you've done for us, and then the awesome sacrifice that was paid that we might have life. And so God, we pray now your blessing to be upon us as we engage in this study tonight. We pray for each person that's going to be on this virtual Bible study. And we ask that needs will be met, ways will be made, and that prayers will be heard. So we love you and we honor you and yes, we thank you now for being our God. Yes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
All right. We're in chapter 16, 17, and portions of 18 of Joshua tonight. Lady Kim is just going to give us a brief reflection on yesterday. And what a time we had on yesterday, I tell you. We had to start getting out more chairs and the people were coming in. The Lord added to the church on yesterday.
Amen.
And I tell you, it's always good to see new members come. And then to see our children perform, that was an awesome time in the Lord. And it was just the glory of the Lord was present. And we praise God for stopping by to visit with us on yesterday.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes. Yesterday's theme or scripture text was from emptiness to fullness.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor preached from Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 1 through 7. And it's a very familiar passage of scripture that talks about how Mary and the other Mary went to the tomb after Jesus was laid in the tomb. And as they were on their way, how they talked about anointing the body of Jesus. And they said, who's going to roll away the stone from the tomb? You know, but as they thought about it, they didn't let that deter them. They mm-hmm. continued to move forward.
Okay.
And I thought about that a lot of times,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we think about an obstacle in our way, we might say, well, just forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do that because, you know, this obstacle is in my way. But these women kept on walking despite knowing that there was an obstacle that was going to block their path.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know how they were going to get in the tomb to anoint Jesus's body because there was a huge stone there. And as a matter of fact, there were soldiers.
That's right, guarding it.
That were guarding it.
That's
and they
right.
didn't know how they were going to get past the soldiers.
That's right.
But they didn't let that deter them. They continued to go on.
Okay.
And then it says, as they got there was a violent earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
And the stone was rolled away. And there was an angel of the Lord that came down from heaven. And he sat on the stone. And he asked them a question. He said, why are you afraid? You know, the guards, they shook, the Bible says, like dead men. But the angel said to the women, don't be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and he is not here. He has risen as he said he would.
Mm-hmm.
And he told them to go in and look, you know, and to see where he had lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples.
Okay.
And so that's what they did. They were joyful. But what I like about this is you reminded us in your sermon that we have the upper hand.
That's right.
You know, despite what the circumstance looks like, we always have the upper hand. Why? Because we know God.
Mm-hmm.
Things are going to turn around in our favor.
That's
you
right.
talked about that, how they're going to turn around in our favor. And we just have to continue to believe in our heart that God is going to somehow move the stone that's blocking
wow.
or obstructing our path.
That's
move
good.
That obstacle
mm-hmm.
that's obstructing our path. And then we can expect a turnaround. We can expect things to turn around for our good.
That's right.
So we just thank God for that awesome message on yesterday. From emptiness to fullness, our lives can be full because Jesus got up from the grave on that third day.
That's right.
With all power in his hands. We have the upper hand. Things are turning around in our favor, and we can expect a turnaround. Things are going to turn in our favor.
That's
we
right.
can expect a turnaround.
That's right. And so, you know, this is a very interesting text, and we have different perspectives from this text, from we have different narratives, I would say, as the gospel writers share their perspective on what happened. And as you were saying, Mary Magdalene and other Mary, they were going to see. They didn't anticipate the stone being rolled away. And many times we can let obstacles hinder us, or what we might think is an obstacle to hinder us from continuing to do the will of God. But one of the things that really stands out, and oftentimes people use this as a point of reference, is that the women were the first at the tomb. All the gospel writers are clear on that. Mm-hmm. And many times we want to push that, and I don't have a problem with it, and you already know how I feel, because even though they were first at the tomb, they were charged and challenged to go tell the others about what they had seen. And I think part of what happened with the men is that the emptiness of Good Friday was so present and pressed on them, and seeing Jesus die on the cross, and they taking him off of the cross, putting him in a borrowed tomb, they probably figured that they were next, and so they were hiding. Mm. But the women had the boldness and the audacity. And isn't that so much like women even today? They have the boldness and the audacity to do, they'll press their way even mm-hmm. against the odds. Mm-hmm. And so I think that has clarity in terms of what even happened with our Good Friday service, how the women proclaimed that word and how they were able to just boldly talk about those seven last sayings on the cross and put it in proper perspective. And they challenged us, even in the service. We didn't say it literally, but they challenged us to go and tell it, mm-hmm. you know, go tell what they had experienced and what they had witnessed through the preaching of the gospel.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so they were the first to go and the first to tell.
That's right.
So they were the first to go, and they were the first evangelists.
First evangelists.
Amen.
Okay.
The first evangelists were the women who went to the tomb.
Okay.
Amen.
So if you find yourself in a place of defeat or in a place of emptiness, know that that's not your final destination. For God has not called us, not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. And so we need to be mindful of the fact that the resurrection is all about us moving from whatever that place of emptiness or defeat might be to a place of victory. Because God so loved the world, John 3:16, the gospel in a nutshell, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And then Paul reminds us in Ephesians that for it's by grace that we are saved.
Yes.
And not of ourselves.
Not of ourselves.
But it's the gift of God.
Yeah.
And so God had enough foresight, and he thought about us long before we even made it on the scene.
Yes.
He made provisions for us by the example of what happened by Jesus rising from the dead. He got up right early that Easter Sunday morning, and because he got up,
we can get up.
Yeah. And so I praise God that resurrection power is yet alive and well even today. And so don't be despondent, and just continue to trust God, and God will bring you out of whatever the brokenness or whatever the bitterness or whatever the emptiness might be in your life. Many times you can't see that, Lady Kim. It's something that's hidden, and sometimes people don't know how to express it, but they try their best to just make do. But a lot of people are going through empty seasons and emptiness and despondency and depression and doubt and frustration. But God has not called us to live there. That's not our permanent address. We can continue to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, and know that God will see it through.
Yeah. Dr. Butler says it ain't over till God
says it's
over.
That's right. It's not over till God says it's over.
That's right.
So hold on.
Yes, Lord.
Because help is on the way. God can turn that situation around. How many of y'all believe that tonight, that he'll turn it around? As a matter of fact, it's turning around in your favor even now.
Right now.
It's turning. It's a turning that's happening in the atmosphere. Come on, somebody help us tonight, because we can't just allow the resurrection story to be a one-time event.
That's right.
But it has to be an experience that we carry with us. This is the cornerstone of our faith.
Yes,
this is where we put our hope and faith and our trust in the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. And so we have to live by that. We have to stand on that. We have to believe that. And we have to know that God will raise us from our deadness and from the situation that's trying to hinder us and those obstacles that's trying to prevent us from getting to where God would have us to be.
Amen. Amen.
I feel an after Easter glow in the house. Hey, God.
Go ahead and preach.
All right. Well, any comments, any questions there, Lady Kim? We're just doing a review right now. Come on, y'all say it's turning. You believe that it's turning.
It's turning for our good.
That's right. Amen. It's turning. It's a turning that's happening.
Amen. All right.
Well, we're in Joshua tonight, the 16th chapter. There are 10 verses there. And then the 17th chapter, there are about, 20 verses there, Lady Kim?
18 verses.
18 verses. Mm-hmm. And really, we kind of touched on 16 last week, as we are still in the whole process where we see the distribution of the land and the allotments to the 12 tribes. They are being assigned different territory, mm-hmm. if you will. Mm-hmm. And that's their lot, and that's where they are going to build. And that's what was promised to them. And so there was some little dissatisfaction with some of the things that had occurred in terms of how those allotments took place. But as you expressed last week, Joshua and I believe it was, who was that with him in that 16th? Let's just read some of that 16th chapter in it to give us a clear indication on what is actually happening here. As a matter of fact, we can probably read those 10 verses and then we can come back and just kind of pick up on a few of those things as we go through tonight.
Amen. Pray my strength in the Lord for these names. Amen. But I'll try the best that I can. We're in the 16th chapter of Joshua, beginning at verse 1. And I'm reading from the NIV version. The allotment for Joseph began at the Jordan, mm-hmm. east of the springs of Jericho, and went up from there through the desert into the hill country of Bethel. Mm-hmm. It went from Bethel, that is Luz, crossed over to the territory of the Archites in Adarab, descended westward to the territory of the Jephthahites, as far as the region of lower Beth Horon, on to Gezer, ending at the Mediterranean Sea. So Manasseh and Ephraim, the descendants of Joseph, received their inheritance.
Okay. Go ahead.
This was the territory of Ephraim according to its clans. The boundary of their inheritance went from Adar in the east to upper Beth Horon and continued to the Mediterranean Sea. From Mephka on the north, it curved eastward to Tanakh, Shiloh, passing by it to Jonah on the east. Then it went down from Genoa to Adarab and Naraha, touched Jericho, and came out at the Jordan.
Okay. Go ahead.
From Tapua, the border went west to the Kana Ravine and ended at the Mediterranean Sea. This was the inheritance of the tribe of the Ephraimites, according to its clans. It also included all the towns and their villages that were set aside for the Ephraimites within the inheritance of the Manassites. They did not dislodge the Canaanites living in Gezer. To this day, the Canaanites live among the people of Ephraim, but are required to do forced labor.
Okay. Forced labor. So, go ahead.
I was going to say, so they made them slaves.
They made them slaves. Uh-huh. That's right. And so this is just a description of the allotments and how they are really receiving their inheritance as a result of the promise that was first of all established with Abraham. And God is a God of his word. And even though many times we don't see what we are anticipating God to do, we have to continue to trust him and believe that if he said he would do a thing, it shall come to pass.
Yes.
And we know that all of the wilderness experience, God had to make sure that a whole generation was destroyed before the generation after them actually received the inheritance of what was promised.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm saying that God will make sure that what he said he would do would come to pass. And even though it might not happen in our time or in our generation, we have to continue to believe that God is going to fulfill the thing that he said he would do.
Amen.
And so God wants to give all of his people an inheritance. And so we have to trust that, and you have to believe that. And we said last week many times, we have not because we ask not.
That's right.
And so we have to ask God for what we want, and we have to believe that God is going to do what he said he was doing. And there's nothing too hard for God, and we have to trust God and believe that he's able to do exactly what he said he would do.
Amen. Amen.
And so even though when you talked about that last verse in verse number 10, the Canaanites that dwell in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites until this day to serve under tribute. And they're talking about they made them slaves. They didn't try to force them out, but they surrendered in such a way where they were willing to coexist together. Mm-hmm. And they made them slaves in the land that they had inherited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Anything else you would like to add there, Lady Kim?
No, I guess when we're going to move on to talk about the daughters, the daughters of Ephraim in the next section.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so we're moving to chapter 17 for those of you who just joined us. And Lady Kim just read those first 10 verses. Well, all of the verses of 16, and we kind of touched on a little of that last week. But and I guess if we kind of put a cap on the lesson that we learned from chapter 16, it would be pretty much getting a clear understanding that our inheritance are not only land and property and money, personalities, genetics, legacy, etc. But our inheritance is being heirs of God's in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So, in other words, we might not see everything that we're anticipating in terms of monetary or things in the natural,
mm-hmm.
but our ultimate destination is not trying to gather as much as we can down here, but to spend eternity with God in heaven.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like you said, it's not about material possessions,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but our ultimate possession is to be able to possess the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God.
That's it.
Amen.
Okay.
And Sister Gwen said it's a lot easier to ask God for what we want when we're trying to do what God asks us to do.
Okay.
That's always true.
Mm-hmm. 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 That's good. That's good. All right. Well, we're in Joshua, the 17th chapter, and we're moving right along. And so there are about, 20?
There are 18 verses.
18 verses.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And it talks about the allotment for the Joseph tribes,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and the land west of the Jordan being assigned to half tribe of Manasseh.
Okay.
You know, half of the tribe was allotted land in Moses' day.
Mm-hmm.
Now the other half will be allotted land in this chapter. And chapter 16 and 17 really have the same kind of title or the same theme running through.
Mm-hmm.
The sons and daughters of Manasseh are given their portion, but cannot dispose of the Canaanites.
Okay.
When they ask for more land, Joshua tells them they need to clear the forest and conquer the Canaanites in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, one of the same themes running through 16 as well as through 17 that we're going to talk about.
Okay. All right. So you want to go ahead and start reading some of that, or how you want to go about?
It's up to you. You want me to read all 18 verses, or you want me to stop somewhere along the way?
Yeah, let's read to about verse number 11 and see if there's anything that jumps out. If not, we'll keep moving after that.
All right. Chapter 17 of Joshua. the first verse. This was the allotment for the tribe of Manasseh and Joseph's firstborn, that is, for Makir, Manasseh's firstborn. Makir was the ancestor of the Gileadites, who had received Gilead and Bashan, mm-hmm. because the Makirites were great soldiers. So this allotment was for the rest of the people of Manasseh, the clans of Ebezer, Helkai, Helkah, Asriel, Shechem, Hephar, and Shittimah. These are the other male descendants of Manasseh, son of Joseph, by their clans. Now, Zephlaporhan, son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Makir, the son of Manasseh, had no sons but only daughters, whose name were Milah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tizerah. They went to Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the leaders, and said, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our relatives." So Joshua gave them an inheritance along with their brothers of their father, according to the Lord's command. Manasseh's share consisted of 10 tracts of land beside Gilead and Bashan, east of the Jordan. Because the daughters of the tribe of Manasseh received an inheritance among the sons, the land of Gilead belonged to the rest of the descendants of Manasseh. The territory of Manasseh extended from Asher to Michmatha, east of Shechem. The boundary ran southward from there to include the people living at An Tapu. Manasseh had the land of Tapu, but Tapu itself on the boundary of Manasseh belonged to the Ephraimites. Then the boundary continued south to the Kanah Ravine. There were towns belonging to Ephraim laying among the towns of Manasseh, but the boundary of Manasseh was the northern side of the ravine and ended at the Mediterranean Sea. On the south, the land belonged to Ephraim, on the north to Manasseh. The territory of Manasseh reached the Mediterranean Sea and bordered Asher on the north and Issachar on the east. Within Issachar and Asher, Manasseh also had Bethshan, Ibbel, and the people of Dor, Endor, Tanakh, and Megiddo, together with their surrounding settlements. The third in the list is Naphtha. Okay. That was through 11.
Go ahead.
See,
and
read. I'm gonna make you read next week. All these names.
All right. Go ahead and read through 13, because I think that sets the frame for what's going to happen in the remaining portions of this chapter. But Lady Kim, you're doing an excellent job, and you see all the thumbs up and all of the hearts going up on your behalf. You're
Thank
doing
you
an
all
excellent
for the
job
encouragement.
In terms of reading, I tell you.
I guess first grade phonics came in a little handy, huh? Okay.
See all the hearts going yes. up and thumbs up.
Yet the Manassehites were not able to occupy these towns, for the Canaanites were determined to live in that region. However, when the Israelites grew stronger, they subjected the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not drive them out completely.
Okay. And so this really kind of setting the framework for what's happening here, because you see, as you've already indicated, that there were some daughters that were really vying for their inheritance. And normally the case would be the inheritance would go to the sons, mm-hmm. and they made a claim, and they went back and referenced the fact that Moses had already dealt with that, mm-hmm. and so it was proper for them to inherit the land, even though there were no sons left, mm-hmm. there were only daughters. And so Joshua kind of had a problem with the children of Joseph, but he was able to manage that and able to help them understand, even though they felt like they didn't have enough room in terms of what they had received, Joshua was willing to work with them and deal with all the personalities and make the necessary adjustments and give them clarity and understanding that they were going to be a special people. They were already a special people. And so they felt as if they needed special treatment because of the fact that they came from the same tribe, I believe, that Joshua came from. And so Joshua wanted to make sure that they understood how God was going to handle the situation in terms of the allotments. And they were not even able to drive out the people in the land. But they still wanted more land because they felt that that was what was owed to them. And so Joshua was really kind of dealing with that and kind of helping them get clarity, because we're going to see as you read the remaining of this 17th chapter. And for those of you just joining us, we're in the 17th chapter of Joshua, and we're talking about the assignments and the allotments of the land as they are in the promised land, and they are getting the distribution and the portions of where all of these 12 tribes are going to settle. We're going to find later that it's really not about boasting, but it's about believing that gives us victory. Because many times we can get caught up in talking about who we were and who our ancestors were and what we think is rightfully ours and feel that that is what would get us where we need to go. But it's not about boasting, but it's about believing that gives us the victory and gains you the territory. And sometimes those who talk the most accomplish the least.
Amen. I think we talked about that a little bit last week.
We did. Yeah.
Those who talk the most accomplish the least. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Talking loud and saying nothing.
And so that's what's really happening here in this 17th chapter. And so Lady Kim read through verse number 13. Is that right?
I think 13. Yeah. Yes.
Uh-huh. And so let's go ahead and pick this back up, and you're welcome to share your comments or thoughts as we move through this. We're not going to go line per line, verse by verse, but we're just kind of highlighting and just kind of making, bringing it to a sense of clarity in terms of what's taking place here.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Verse number 14 of chapter 17 of Joshua, the people of Joseph said to Joshua, "Why have you given us only one allotment and one portion for an inheritance? We are a numerous people, and the Lord has blessed us abundantly." "If you're so numerous," Joshua answered, "and if the hill country of Ephraim is too small for you, go up into the forest and clear the land for yourselves, there in the land of the Perizzites and the Rephaelites." The people of Joseph replied, "The hill country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who live in the plains have chariots filled with iron, both those of Beth Shan and its settlements and those in the valley of Jezreel." But Joshua said to the tribe of Joseph, to Manasseh and to Ephraim and Manasseh, "You are numerous and very powerful. You will have not only one allotment, but the forested hill country as well. Clear it, and its farthest limits will be yours. Though the Canaanites have chariots fitted with iron, and though they are strong, you can drive them out."
Okay. So you see that little confrontation that Joshua is dealing with, and they really didn't want to put forth the effort in order to. Sometimes we have to pursue, and we have to go ahead and work for what God has already promised
us.
Amen.
That's true.
Many times people want to just sit back and expect for a blessing to fall through the roof or come through crashing through the window. But God says, no, you got to put your, after you pray, then faith without works is dead. So you got to put forth an effort, even though I've already promised what I said I was going to, do for you. Many times you've got to get up and take the necessary steps in order to receive it.
Yes, right. So put in a little sweat equity.
That's right.
And
that's
sometimes, you know, the harder you work, the bigger the blessing might be.
Okay.
You know, so you have to put in the work, you know, to get something out. That's how, you know, I keep saying old folks, and I forget I am old folks. But they used to say, See, I forgot what old folks used to say.
You know what? No, you don't eat. Is that what you're going to say?
No, it wasn't, okay. But that sounds good. You don't work, you don't eat.
I know, right?
Oh, Lord.
But you have to go ahead and pursue and work for it. And I think that says a lot about who we are. And God wants to see faith in action, mm-hmm. our faith in motion, mm-hmm. you know. And James is clear on it. Faith without works is dead. And so we say we have faith, mm-hmm. but many times we don't want to go and get what we need to get in order to be who God has called us to be.
Mm-hmm. Sister Gwen says, squad is right. If you clear it, it's yours. Mm-hmm. And there's strength in numbers.
That's right.
Amen.
Because it was obvious that the children of Israel multiplying in the land, and these were the descendants of Joseph, and the numbers were increasing, and they were still afraid of the giants that were in that land, and the chariots, and all of the things that they thought would be an obstacle, just as we talked about in terms of Mary Magdalene and other Mary going to the tomb. Mm-hmm. You have to go ahead and continue to pursue and press your way. And know that even if it looks like it's difficult in the natural, God can make special provisions in the spirit for it to come to pass. And the thing that we may have thought was going to be an obstacle, when we get to where we're supposed to be, God would have moved that out of the way.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, we have to face our giants.
Okay, that's good.
Giants could be also the obstacles in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Those giant obstacles. But one of the things here, you know, that we can kind of, lessons that we can learn, and I like the boldness of these young women.
Okay.
Who went and requested that they be given what was rightfully theirs.
That's right. That's right.
Because in that day and time, you know, women were submissive. They kept quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But these women stepped up and voiced that they, their father had no sons,
mm-hmm.
and they were his only heirs, and that they deserved an allotment of land, and they were given that allotment of land. And one of the lessons we can learn from chapter 17 is know that in our lives there will be times like those in Zelophehad's daughters who had no brothers,
mm-hmm.
when we are required to show boldness and courage to remain faithful to the Lord's mission in our lives and to bless future generations.
That's powerful, isn't it?
Yes.
And so we have to remain faithful. And these women set a precedence for their boldness and their sure tenacity, if you will,
mm-hmm.
to pursue and to trust that God was going to work it out for them.
Mm-hmm.
And many times that goes back to what we were talking about. We have not because we ask not. Sometimes we see what God has promised and we don't want to get up and go get it. And God sometimes is waiting on us to make a move so he can go ahead and continue to open up the doors for us.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. All right. Well, that pushes us to chapter 18.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Look like your eyes are getting a little red from this reading, Reverend.
I know. My notes are really small.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Okay. You told the people you're getting ready to change your
prescription.
Prescriptions.
I went to the eye doctor, so... hopefully I have some new glasses soon where I can see better and stop doing like that.
All right. So there are 28 verses in in this 18th chapter.
Yeah.
And really, this is a continuation of the assignments that are happening,
mm-hmm.
in terms of the tribes. Five tribes now have been given the inheritance as Joshua and Eleazar, and the 12 tribal leaders. That's what we were talking about earlier, how they cast lots at Gilgal. Then Joshua moved the camp to Shiloh in the territory of the Ephraimites, where the tabernacle remained until David moved the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. And so the Lord must have directed Joshua during this process to move, or he would not have done what he said he was going to do. And so Shiloh was centrally located and was more convenient for all of the tribes. Mm. And so that's where Joshua set up camp, as the Lord directed him through this process. Mm-hmm. And he built an altar there and established that as the headquarters, so to speak. And then it, when David came along, that's when, was it David that moved it was not until David moved the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Right. So let's maybe read portions of that and see where we are. Our time is good. We're in chapter 18, for those of you who are just joining us. And we got about 15 more minutes, Lady Kim. You want to maybe read half of that? And will that put us on our schedule for next week with what we have assigned? Or should we be in 19 next week?
19.
Next week?
Probably 20.
20 next week? So we're supposed to cover.
I don't know if I'm right or not. I don't know if mine is right or not.
What? Huh? What did you say? I didn't hear you. You breaking up. What? All right. What is today's date?
Today is the 18th.
So we should be covering 16, 17, and we should pick up 18 and 19 on next week. And that's going to be a hard task because there are 51 verses in 19.
So we're doing 18 now. So yeah, we'll be able to cover 19 on next week.
Okay. All right. You think we'll have enough time to get through 18 tonight?
Part of 18, not all of it.
Okay. So that would give us, and we can double up when we get there and we get another short chapter. Or we can go ahead and summarize this, and then we'll be on chapter 20 next week. Is that what we're supposed to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So you want to read portions of this, and then are there any comments or any questions that anybody has?
I don't see any right now.
Okay. And we're just trying to determine whether we're going to try to tackle all of 18 with the time that we had left, and then pick up 19 on next week. So let's go ahead and see how much of that... you want to just go ahead and summarize it, Lady Kim, and then use our notes to summarize.
However you want me to proceed.
Okay. Well, go ahead and read the portions of it, and then we'll see where we are.
Okay.
Okay.
We're going to be talking about the divisions of the rest of the land.
Mm-hmm.
All right? The whole assembly of the Israelites gathered at Shiloh and set up a tent of meeting there.
Mm-hmm.
The country was brought under their control. But there were still 7 Israelite tribes who had not yet received their inheritance.
Okay.
So Joshua said to the Israelites, "How long will you wait before you begin to take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, have given you? Appoint 3 men from each tribe. I will send them out to make a survey of the land and to write a description of it according to the inheritance of each. Then they will return to me. You are to divide the land into 7 parts.
Mm-hmm.
Judah is to remain in his territory on the south, and the tribes of Joseph in the territory on the north. After you have written descriptions of the 7 parts of the land, bring them here to me, and I will cast lots for you in the presence of the Lord our God. The Levites, however, do not get a portion among you, because the priestly service of the Lord is their inheritance."
Mm-hmm.
"And Gad, Reuben, and half tribe of Manasseh have already received their inheritance on the east side of the Jordan. Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave it to them."
Right.
As the men started on their way to map out the land, Joshua instructed them, "Go and make a survey of the land and write a description of it. Then return to me, and I will cast lots for you here at Shiloh in the presence of the Lord." So the men left and went through the land. They wrote his description on a scroll, town by town, in 7 parts, and returned to Joshua in the camp at Shiloh. Joshua then cast lots for them in Shiloh in the presence of the Lord. And there he distributed the land to the Israelites according to their tribal divisions. That was the end of That was chapter 10, I mean verse 10 through verse 10.
Go ahead and read down to about 15. Let's see what we get.
This is talking about the allotment for Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
The first lot came up for the tribe of Benjamin according to its clan. Their allotted territory lay between the tribes of Judah and Joseph. On the north side of their boundary began at the Jordan, past the northern slope of Jericho, and headed west into the hill country. Come out at the wilderness of Beth Avan. From there, it crossed to the south slope of Luz, that is Bethel, and went down to Ataroth Adar on the hill south of lower Beth Horon. From the hill facing Beth Horon on the south, the boundary turned south along the western side and came out at Kereth Baal, that is Kereth Jerim, a town of the people of Judah. This was the western side. To what verse?
15 through 15.
The southern side began at the outskirts of Kereth Jerim on the west, and the boundary came out at the spring of the waters of Nephthah. The boundary went down to the foot of the hill facing the valley of Ben Hinnom, north of the valley of Rephaim. It continued down to the Hinnom Valley along the southern slope of the Jebusite city, and so to En Rogel. It then curved north and went to En Shemesh, continued on to Geloth, which faces the pass of Adamim, and ran down to the stone of Borhan, son of Reuben.
That's 17 through 17.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We only have like a few more verses. Go ahead and just read it, and then we'll come back and comment on it, anything that's need to be commented on, and that will carry us through 18.
All right. Well, at the 18th verse of Joshua, the 18th chapter,
mm-hmm.
it continued to the northern slope of Beth Araba and on downward into the Araba. It then went to the northern slope of Beth Hagla and came out at the northern bay of the Dead Sea at the mouth of the Jordan in the south. This was the southern boundary. The Jordan formed the boundary on the eastern side. These were the boundaries that marked out the inheritance of the clans of Benjamin on all sides.
Mm-hmm.
The tribe of Benjamin, according to its clans, had the following towns. Jericho, Beth Hogla, Emek, Kizes, Beth Araba, Jimaharam, Bethel, Avim, Par, Ophiran, Kephar, Ammoni, Ophani, and Geba. 12 towns and their villages, Gibeon, Ramoth, Beeroth, Mizpah, Kehara, Mozah, Rechem, Irapel, Tarala, Zila, Helapath, and the Jebusite city, that is Jerusalem, Geba, and Kiraret. 14 towns and their villages. This was the inheritance of Benjamin and its clan.
Wow.
Thank you, Jesus.
Somebody probably joined us and did. What in the world
are
they talking
about?
What is
she talking about? She's speaking in tongues.
I know, right? But you did a great job, Lady Kim.
Speaking in tongues over there.
Because really this is, you know, as you were reading and as I was thinking about it, and then we're getting ready to close, Lady Kim just finished reading the 18th chapter, and they're going through a descriptive analysis of the portion of land. Joshua, he's still using that same strategy by sending out spies to survey the land, to come back with
A description of the land.
Mm-hmm. And then also that once they came back, he would be the one who would have the lots, pull lots. In other words, it was almost like, what's another word for casting lots?
Pulling straws. Mm-hmm. I guess he wanted to make sure it was done fairly.
Right.
You know, so he had to map it out.
Mm-hmm.
But they still wouldn't know what portion would be allotted to each tribe until the lot was drawn.
That's right.
So he probably called out the town of, you know, Hezbollah
goes to this tribe,
and he would say, you know, Hezbollah. He would call out the name of the tribe. Mm-hmm. This is the tribe of Benjamin. And let's pull this, you know, and Hezbollah will be written on the straw,
right,
or whatever.
Right.
And
right.
So that's how they went about casting lots.
Casting lots.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is an interesting chapter because it helps us get clarity in terms of, I guess, the way that Joshua had a strategy that really is still being used today. In terms of how he's using what do they call when they go out and do the assessment of the land and they do all of the different little, you know, like when they're trying to build a new subdivision, mm-hmm, or whatever. Joshua had that kind of intuition in terms of his drive, in terms of his focus, even before he was a little ahead of his time with that,
mm-hmm,
agricultural, you know, genius, a spirit about him in terms of making sure that the portions and the land was of such that it was distributed equally among,
mm-hmm,
the people,
mm-hmm,
you know. So he used that.
The land surveyors.
Surveyors, yeah.
Mm-hmm,
he used that kind of wisdom even back then, even before they came up with a name or a title for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's doing an excellent job in terms of how he's strategizing and making that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But that whole chapter really just kind of gives us a clear sense of that. And I think these remaining allotments, it ties in with the 19th chapter as well, because you're going to see portions of that coming out in the 19th chapter also. As we look at that on next week. But I think for this particular time together tonight in chapter 18, a good lesson for us to really take away from that. Do you have that other piece, mm-hmm, right there? I think that's it right there. The priest, the Levites received no portion of the land as their inheritance, but the Lord is all we will ever have, that is, our lasting eternal value. And also leaders like Joshua motivate moving people forward by increasing their involvement. And so he got them all involved. He made sure that everybody participated in what was to be expected from their allotment. And so he did that in terms of making sure that people not just sat back and just waited on something to happen, mm-hmm, but that they participated in what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like bringing everybody to the table, having ownership in the process, and everybody was able to be a part of what was going on.
Amen.
Yeah. So that's chapter 18. And next week we're going to take on chapter 19. And I think, does it say 19 and 20 for next week? No, it says chapter 18 and 19, right? For next week.
Next week will be the 25th.
Uh-huh.
We'll do 19 and 20.
On next week?
It says 19, 20, and 21.
Okay. So we can cover, 19 has about 51 verses.
Yeah.
But we're going to see a lot of the same descriptive conversation that's taking place here in 18 is going to be a continuation. And so we'll see how much of that we can cover on next week.
Okay.
All right. Well, this has been a great study tonight. If you have any prayer requests or any thing that you would like us to touch and agree with you on, just go ahead and put that in the comment box there. And we're getting ready to close out for tonight. But Lady Kim, excellent job tonight in terms of making that clarity and making it clear for us, making it clear, I say, for us, and getting a clear understanding of what did you learn tonight from all of that?
A lot of names. A lot of hard names.
There's power in a name, I tell you.
Amen.
And so names are important. But God used Joshua's God used Joshua to be a strategist in this whole process to make sure that the process was handled in such a way that everybody felt that they were a part of the process.
Amen.
And so I think that's a valuable lesson that we can take away from this as well. Mm-hmm. Brother DeJuan Whitmore, good to see you on tonight. He said prayer. I guess he is asking for prayer. And then there's...
Sister Lavonia Jones is asking for prayer for her uncle who has cancer. Mm-hmm.
Any other prayer requests as we prepare to close out tonight?
I want to request prayer for our your first cousin, Sandra Murray, mm-hmm. who had a massive stroke. And is in the hospital in Birmingham, Alabama. So we want to lift up Sandra Murray.
Look like there were a couple.
Brother Daryl Taylor has one more surgery to go before he can come home.
Praise
so we're
God.
Lifting up Brother Daryl Taylor. And for the Williams family and those at Baptist Tipton Hospital. Okay.
Brother Darryl right. says he's hoping to come home this week.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
That's good. All right. And continue to lift up our sick and shut in. We want to lift up Sister Elaine Stevenson. She was expecting to come home from the hospital today. I haven't talked to her today. But we want to lift up Sister Elaine. As well as the Hugheses.
Mm-hmm.
We want to lift up William and Elizabeth Hughes in our prayers.
Okay.
And we also want to lift up Brother Mike
Brooks.
Michael Brooks in ICU in Germantown Methodist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. And don't forget, this is early voting. This is early voting season. And so ATOP is an early voting site. It was kind of slow earlier when I was at the church, Lady Kim, but we're encouraging all of those who are viewing to make sure you exercise your right to vote. It's a short ballot, but each vote counts. And so we hope that you will take this opportunity to go to your own church or go to ATOP if you're not a member and participate in the process.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Okay. Will you close us out then with a word of prayer, Lady Kim?
Sure.
Okay.
Let me add Earl Murray Jr. to the prayer list also. That's Pastor's brother. He's in rehab in Savannah, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let us go to God in prayer. Precious Jesus, we love you tonight. We bless you and we honor you, for you are worthy to be praised. First of all, God, we lift up the concerns that your people have expressed on tonight, God. God, Lavonia Jones is asking prayer for her uncle who is battling cancer. So we lift up her uncle to you. We lift up his wife to you, God, who is there by his side to care for him and to just assist him during his time of need. We lift up Sandra Murray to you on that hospital bed, God. We ask that you would restore her, the movement on the left side of her body, God, that this stroke has tried to destroy. We ask, God, that you would surround her with doctors that have wisdom and knowledge, oh God, that can get and diagnose everything that she needs in order to be made whole. We ask that you would continue, oh God, to minister to her in her time of need. We lift up her mother, Catherine Murray,
yes,
to
God.
You today,
yes,
God, as other caregivers now have to come in and take care of her because Sandra was her caregiver. We ask, oh God, that you be with Aunt Catherine and Sandra and Van and Theodore and Harvey and Amp, God, as a family. Surround them with your love and your care, oh God. We lift them up to you. God, we pray for Brother Daryl Taylor. We pray that he will be released from the rehab facility this week, oh God. And as he comes home, that he continues to gain the strength that he needs, oh God, to be mobile and move as he needs, as he ought, God. And we thank you today, God. We pray for the Williams family, whatever they stand in need of, oh God. And those at Baptist Tipton Hospital, whatever they stand in need of, God, we ask that you would provide it for them right now. We lift up Sister Elaine Stevenson to you, God. We thank you for her health and her strength, oh God. We thank you for her recovery.
Restoration, God.
Now we ask, oh God, that you would continue to strengthen her as she leaves that hospital. We lift up William and Elizabeth Hughes today. We ask that you would continue to strengthen them. We thank you for their granddaughter, oh God, meeting every need in their life and assisting of them in their time of need. We lift up Michael Brooks to you in ICU at Methodist Hospital, God. You know he's gone through a lot these past few months, oh God, but we ask that you would continue to be with him, touch him, and heal that body of his, God, in the name of Jesus. Let him be a witness and a testimony of your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. We lift up Earl Murray Jr. to you, God, in the rehab facility, and we ask that you would be with him, strengthen him where he's weak, and build him up where he's torn down.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
We ask the same for Anthony Hanley today, God. We ask that you would continue to strengthen him, oh God, where he's weak, God. We ask that you would restore the movement and motion in
his lower body, God.
Give him strength, oh God, to get up out of that wheelchair and learn how to walk again. So we thank you, God. We bless you. We pray, oh God, for this election season, God. We pray for all the candidates, oh God. Let them do what they have said and committed themselves to do, oh God, for your people, and let it be done for your glory and for your good. Now, oh God, we thank you for this time that we've shared together. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and thank
Amen
God.
Amen and praise God.
Amen.
Well, thank each of you for being on tonight, and we certainly praise God for his Spirit's abiding presence. So you be blessed tonight as you enjoy the rest of the evening.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
See you next week. Bye-bye.